There we go. Got the thumbs up from Coach.
Nobody sucks up to guests like us.
We're really good at it,
Coach. I like it.
Yeah, just so you know, we're really good at sucking up to guests. It's great to be joined right now by the head coach of Alabama Birmingham, a program, as I was just mentioning to the audience, 2 years, 2015 and 2016, there was no football at UAB. 2 years after that, there is conference title winning football going on at UAB. And the man who has overseen that from before that period to now after that period is our next guest. And my prediction to win the award tonight, the Paul Bear Bryant Award, Bill Clark of UAB joining us on the show. Coach, welcome to Houston.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you here. I guess take us back to 2014 when the decision was made to close down the football program. I guess at that point, was there any sort of light at the end of the tunnel, or was this something that looked very final and everybody was going to have to move on?
Yeah, I mean, I think what was tough, I was explaining, and I've explained this many times, you know, I had a good job. I was happy. I was at Jacksonville State, which was my alma mater. And don't know that I would stay there the rest of my life, but we were going to win. It was home. And you know, so when UAB called me, I didn't have any interest. Not because I didn't think it could be great. You know, Birmingham, the economic center of the state, you've got you know, all these great things, and you know, a town that loves football, now 17 straight years the number one football watching city in America,
yep,
per capita. And then we come in and win. You know, I mean, we come in and we turn them around, and we get bowl eligible from, you know, how many games they'd won over the last 3 years. So when that happened, you know, you just don't shut down a football program.
Right.
And so it was not death, but it was the next closest thing.
Yeah.
When you say Jacksonville State, there might be some people out there thinking, oh, Jacksonville, Florida. No, it's Jacksonville, Alabama.
Correct.
You've been coaching. You've been a football coach for the better part of three decades now,
yep,
and you've never coached outside the state of Alabama, correct?
2 years. I was in South Georgia.
My bad.
Correct. 2 years is only, you know, in high school in South Georgia. Immediately came back to Alabama. not that the South Georgia was not some great football. It was college football. And as I say, you know, Texas, South Georgia, and a lot of Georgia, Alabama, you know, you got a lot of college football coaches that just happen to be coaching high school football. But, no, mostly in Alabama, though.
But you spent almost a couple of decades coaching high school football.
Correct.
Did you follow the dream? Did you always believe that you were capable of getting to the next level?
Well, what I did, I mean, you know, and first I've, you know, I'm a coach's son. And so, you know, the thing he did, he went and studied. You know, I still remember he went out and got the wishbone from Texas in 68. His coach was running the run and shoot in 58 when he came out of high school. And, you know, I think for me that's what I did. My hobby was going and visiting and studying. I drove to Miami in 1989 and got 4-3 defense and, you know, all these things. So I was constantly going and studying and looking and had opportunities. You know, it wasn't the right time for me until, you know, when we went to South Alabama and we started that program there.
What's the sales pitch to a recruit as a program that is out of football for 2 years? How different is it than a normal recruiting pitch?
It was crazy, really. At first, I had that time. You know, it was, okay, we're going, you know, we got people dying to bring the program back. They're fighting. We get people from the city that weren't really UAB folks that decided to get involved. And my whole thing was, Coach, we'll do it if you stay. And I said, well, I'll stay only if we do it right, which means we've got to have facilities. And we're saying beyond a shadow of a doubt. And there was a lot of political stuff we had to go through as well. But so as I went out to these recruits, I had that time on my hands to go, what do you not want to do? And mm-hmm. the one thing we wanted to not do was go with all high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
There was no chance.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're talking about going against grown men, you know, who have been playing college football, who play with a few high school players, you know, who just got out of high school. So this became this junior college model, and there was the big thing the NCAA allowed us to do. They didn't really give us a bunch of concessions, but we weren't going to play for 2 years, and the only thing I said was they cannot lose eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we dealt a lot with Oliver Luck. Our Conference USA was very instrumental in helping us because they wanted us back and needed us back. And I said, I'm not asking for a big number of scholarships. I'm just asking that their clock doesn't tick so we can actually go get a guy. And so the thing we sold was – and what's amazing about these junior college guys, how many of them are actually hurt? They've got a hurt labrum.
Yeah.
They've got a hurt knee. They wanted to get bigger and stronger or get academically well.
Yep.
And so, you know, we still had to get them in school, but I said, you know, hey, let's go get you academically well, get this great degree from this great university, at the same time get bigger, stronger, faster.
Yeah.
So when you do go out on the field, you're well-trained. Mm-hmm. And that was a sale. Obviously, immediate playing time.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure, sure.
Hey, you're not just coming here to be a number. You got to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the funny one is who's going to play you in the movie. You know, because there's going to
yeah,
be a no movie.
Doubt. There will. I love that.
That's good. You got a preference?
Well, I don't know. For me, my fans put some guys out there, so it doesn't matter, you know. But it was – and then it was, okay, now this needs to be a good movie, you know. Not a horror story of we didn't come out and win a game. So that was kind of the – that was funny but true. And then I always said, if we don't get the facilities built, you will find me in an alley somewhere. Because I have promised these guys they will have a facility.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, we've both been in Texas for a while, and we know how much football is ingrained in the culture of this state. And I think you can say the same about the state of Alabama.
Yep.
Can you speak to how much football just means to that state?
You know, it's hard to speak on that. And, of course, I'm just coming from the AFCA convention in Alabama, in San Antonio. I helped start the Alabama Football Coaches Association I guess, 05, 04, 05. Believe it or not, we didn't have a true just football coaches association in the state. But it's a big deal, you know. And I think for us, always for me being a coach's son, my son who played for me this year is fixing to be a coach, we've got to protect the game. You know, we've got to continue to do things for the game. But there's no doubt there's a love affair between the state of Alabama and football. And it is important. And I say it's not more important than your faith, your family, or maybe getting that degree. But it's very important.
Did you grow up a fan of Alabama? Of the University of Alabama?
Yeah, in fact, my dad was in the A Club at Alabama. He went to play there, got cut, mm-hmm. ended up working with a basketball team. And, of course, he would always remind me, you know, hey, you know, you're for the Ohatchee Indians or the Piedmont Bulldogs, you know, our local high school
yeah.
team. But, yeah, I was definitely a fan growing up.
So what would it mean to you to be able to – I mean, I would imagine it means a lot just to be a finalist, but to win an award that has Paul Bear Bryant's name on it as an Alabama native.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, obviously, when you think, you know, and I was fortunate enough to win the Eddie Robinson Award the other night, and you start talking about the icons of the game, guys that, you know, made me want to coach, made football important, especially you're talking about Paul Bryant, you know, Bear Bryant in our state, it's obviously a huge deal. So, yeah, it'd be a big deal to me.
Well, I didn't bring it up when Dabo was with us, but people are always going to remember that he was a walk-on in Alabama, grew up in Alabama, and wonder that if and when Nick Saban steps aside, might they make a call to Clemson. People forget that Darryl Royal was an Oklahoma Sooner.
Right.
I mean, these things happen, right?
Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised, and I don't know if you have an opinion on this or not, if Dabo stays put at Clemson.
You know, it's kind of like me at UAB. You know, I get that asked every day, why have you not already left? And you know, I think there's something said to be somewhere where you love the people and they love you. And in our game where it's so fickle and it's, you know, about what you did for me lately. And I think he's at a great spot. I know he probably believes that. He's got to build the facilities the way he wants. It's hard to do much better, and that's no offense to Alabama.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, and your situation's so unique. I mean, you didn't just build a program, you rebuilt a program.
Yep.
So and your accomplishments are amazing. Kudos to you and UAB. Coach Bill Clark joining us here on the Triple Threat on Sports Radio 610. Coach, we're up against it here at the top of the hour, so we appreciate you jumping on with us. Congratulations. Best of luck tonight, because if you win, Rich owes me a sandwich.
So, all right.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah. So,
it's true.
I'm pulling for you.
I'm pulling for you.
Thank you.
Coach, congratulations.
All right.
Thank
yeah,
you.
It's great
yeah.
to
appreciate
have you.
Your time.
Coach
Good
Bill
job.
Clark of the UAB joining us here. Rich, that was fun.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is, as you said at the top of the show, really one of our favorite shows. And you know what it also is? It's sort of a dry run for Radio Row at the Super Bowl.
You know what? That's a great point.
You know?
Yeah.
It's this guy, Nick, this guy next. This guy's going to sit down. Hey, talk to this guy for a few minutes.
People whispering in your ear while you're on the air.
Yes.
Yeah.
yes.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
very whirlwind.
You and I both have to maybe get a little BS going while the other guy's getting whispered into his ear.
And we're good at that,
yeah,
let's
face it. Are you kidding me? We've got to combine several decades of it.
So I don't know about you, but I'm ready for Atlanta now.
I am too. Yeah, end of the month. So that should be a lot of fun. So we're going to wrap it up here. We're live at the Post Oak Hotel. Again, if you're on your way, you and I are both sticking around for the festivities,
yep.
right? So you may see us here if you're bumping around this beautiful, luxurious hotel. We got to thank everybody involved with the Post Oak. We got to thank our friend Jan over here for for getting everything lined up. I'm seriously, she was the MVP today.
Yes.
Because she was able to give us ETAs on all of these.
It doesn't happen without somebody doing what she did for us.
No question about it. So, final prediction, you are sticking with Dabo Swinney.
I am, especially after learning the votes didn't come in until after the game on Monday
especially
night.
Especially after sitting with Dabo Swinney.
I feel like that guy just talked his way
into the NFL coach of the year, and he's not even an NFL coach.
Amen.
All right, so we're done. We're about out of time. We will be back in studio tomorrow with Clint Stoerner, so tune in then. Until then, have a great night, everybody.